Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowed bunker here in the LRN radio network broadcast zone out in Keene in the Shire. I am here, Derek J., your host tonight. Michael Dean couldn't be with us. He's out lobbying Bill Gates from the Bill and Melinda Gates Fund to solve the microphone problems of the third world. Across the inner tubes on the other end is Randy England, Wampus Cat. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Michael's out bringing creamy audio to Africa, is that right?
Isn't that good of him? He's always focused on the most needy.
It's the kind of guy he is.
Priorities in the right place, as always. So, it's very exciting. I think we've got an Adventures in Legal Land-packed episode tonight for the Freedom Fiends listeners. There's all sorts of... Well, you're a lawyer. You defended criminals, and I'm a criminal, so let's talk about it, because I've got some trials coming up, Randy, and I need your help. So this is my last-ditch effort. This is a call-in line where I'm trying to get my legal defense advice from an attorney across the internet.
Now, are you just an accused criminal, or are you a convicted criminal?
Well, both. I guess I've been convicted of some crimes.
All right.
And others...
That's more like the people I know.
Yeah, others are just not true. So, like many others, I've been accused of the crime of parking. But criminal parking, which just drives me crazy that's even a crime. But yeah, I have to fight that one. Plus, I mentioned on the Fiends earlier, a few weeks ago, that I applied for a concealed carry license, permission from mommy and daddy government to allow me to put a gun in my pocket. And they said no. Mommy and daddy government said no.
So, well, let me ask you, as you say that, what did you have to do to apply for it?
I had to fill out a piece of paper. It means I had to go to the local police department, ask them for a piece of paper, fill it out with my name, three people who I trust to be as references, some other information, and, you know, like, have you ever been convicted of domestic partner abuse or something similar, or have you ever been convicted of a felony? No. And if you check off those boxes correctly and you pay the $10, New Hampshire is a shall issue state, meaning the police department's supposed to issue you that license, so long as you fit the criteria. And I do, but they denied me anyway, because really, the underlying principle here is, we're the government, we can do whatever we want.
I didn't know what your application was, but I looked up your statute.
Yeah.
And it does, you said they shall issue, and I think they distinguish between states where they may issue one if you fit the criteria, or where they shall. But and shall sounds like the chief or the sheriff or whoever's giving out the permits has to do it.
That's what it sounds like. But
what it says shall issue a license to such applicant authorizing the applicant to carry a loaded pistol or revolver in this state if it appears that the applicant has good reason to fear injury to the applicant's person or property, or has any proper purpose, and the applicant is a suitable person to be licensed. And then it says hunting, target shooting, or self-defense shall be considered a proper purpose. Now, it seems to, I don't know how, you know, I mean, unless you're so stupid to say you want to go in there to use it to shoot cops, you know, you're going to say, like, I want to hunt, shoot targets, or I want to defend myself, all of which are defined as proper purposes. It seems to me that about the only way they could deny you is if they didn't think you were a suitable person.
Yeah, that seems to be what it comes down to. The language from the chief of police was that I was disqualified because I have, quote, had several contacts with the police for assaultive or threatening behavior. And then he lists my past arrests in Keene, which are all totally peaceful and victimless, of course, which people can learn about.
No violent contacts, then.
No, no violence. And if people want proof, they can go watch my documentary. It's free online at victimlesscrimespree.com. And the issue is, I am a political activist. I point out that the government uses violence and that it has no authority. And they don't like that. And so I can't petition them for my rights. And then they just deny my rights. You know, they prove my point for me that they are lawless.
So after they denied you, did you have you had a time where you had to appeal?
Yeah, exactly. So I got this letter from the chief of police, and he's like, hey, you know, in not so nice words, he's like, hey, Derek, you're not suitable. I deny your request to have my permission to carry a gun in your pocket. And but if you don't like this decision, you can take it up with my friend, the judge. So I, petitioned the court through an appeal process. I got a lawyer.
Which court is it?
The lower court, the district court. So it's like the lowest of the low. It's where you would take a parking ticket.
is it a state court or a municipal court?
It's municipal. It's the town court, I believe.
Oh, the town court.
Sure,
okay.
I'm not sure if it's. I think it stays within the town for now, and it could be appealed to a higher state court if I lose. I could appeal higher. But this stays down low. And this is with a judge who I've seen all the time. If you follow anything that happens in Keene, New Hampshire, as part of the Freedom Project that's happening here, you've seen Judge Burke before. He's sentenced countless people to jail for victimless crimes.
Is Judge Burke the one who threw Ian in jail over the sofa?
Yes.
Is that because I've been watching Keene, New Hampshire since back before then, and that's been a while.
Yep, and he was sentencing before that Lauren Canario to jail for not speaking. He's thrown Pete Ayer of copblock.org in jail for wearing a hat. It's ridiculous the level to which he will use state violence in cages and threats of force.
I may have misspoken. I think that the reason Ian went to jail was because he didn't sit down fast enough, if I remember the video.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, he was arrested for not sitting fast enough. He did sit
fast
down
enough,
as requested by the judge, but not enough. So he had to spend some time in a cage for that.
He was contemptuously slow.
Yeah, that's right.
Seated, apparently.
And another great one is where Judge Burke, the same judge here in the courthouse in Keene, he lied on camera, just a lie, as a demo of copblock.org was asking him questions about some of his past arrests. And he was walking up the stairs to his office. A demo was recording in a public building, a public official, you know, during the course of his duties, and Judge Burke lied, saying that this man threatened me, and he told his bailiffs to arrest Ademo just because he was recording him asking him some questions. And he lied, saying that he threatened him about a decision that he just made, which the camera and the video evidence showed was not true. But of course, there are no consequences for a judge who lies and gets people arrested and caged, and their charges are later dropped. You know, there's no consequences for him.
But anyway, this is the person in whom you have couched your hopes.
This is the same man. Well, I have no choice, Randy. This is the person, you know, the government has chosen will bring me justice on this issue. So, yeah, I petitioned him, Judge Burke. And of course, I asked my lawyer, like, hey, can we get this guy recused? Can we have him not preside over this case? Can we get anybody else? Could we take this to a different courtroom? And the judge dismissed that motion, saying, no, I'm perfectly not biased. I like Derek. There's no bias here. Those other issues were criminal, and this is civil, so I'm going to preside over this case.
Well, as long as someone promises to be fair, I mean, I don't know what else you want.
Right. It doesn't matter what his history shows.
I'm not familiar with New Hampshire law. In Missouri, you don't have to have cause for a first request for change of judge. You just say, you're out of here, and that's it.
I think that would be nice.
Now, the second change, if you don't like the next one you get, then it has to be for cause.
Well, but, I think that's only fair. You know, if you get a burger at a restaurant and it doesn't look right, you can just say, hey, I want a different one, and they'll bring you out a new one. But
if you tried it twice in the same meal, they might...
Yeah, then they might start looking at you funny.
Kick back. Yeah, okay.
So I wasn't too happy with this, and a couple of weeks ago, I went to court with my lawyer, and we started the process, you know, because this thing always takes a long time with anything that goes into court. And I'm thinking, you know, bing, bang, boom, I'm in, I'm out, they make the case, and I get my pistol license. But that's not what happened, of course. They got like two sentences into the hearing after waiting all day. Because first, when you go to court, you have to wait for everyone else to do their parking tickets or their DUIs or whatever sort of trials or arraignments are going to happen earlier in the day. So then you have to wait, pay your expensive lawyer to sit there, and... finally, it's my turn to go up. We get like two sentences in, and my lawyer points out, hey, judge, the court hasn't even fit the timeline. The law requires that this hearing be scheduled within 14 days of the appeal. Well, here we are, you know, I forget whatever date it was, September 8th, and that's well outside of the 14 days allotted. So you've already broken your own rules. Now, how are we going to remedy this? I say you should give this guy his pistol permit. You've already wasted enough of his time. And as Martin Luther King said, a right delayed is a right denied. So give this guy his rights. And the judge said, whoa, whoa, hey, we can't do that. Stop everything. We're going to give ourselves
take some more time.
Yep. More time, and you guys write me some nice letters about what you think I should do to remedy my mistake and how I should punish myself, and then we'll reconvene, we'll schedule a new date several months down the line, and then we'll figure this whole thing out. So, I don't know. I'll be lucky if it's summer.
So both sides are briefing the case before any evidence is presented, then?
That's right. So that's where we're at. So no evidence has been presented. Nothing has happened. We've only heard, like... Not even a single argument. It's just, hey, so far the rules have not been followed, so how do we get the court to follow its own rules?
Well, yeah, but that may not even be the fight that you want to fight. You may want to just get to your case on the merits and have the judge say yes or no, right?
Well, that's what I would want, and I'm ready for that kind of decision. Yes or no, you know, if it's yes, great. I get my license. If it's no, let's appeal this thing now. Why wait?
That's right.
We've got more adventures in Legal Land after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Freedom Fiends, tasing you with liberty. Speaking into microphones of anarchy. With me, it's Randy England, Wampus Cat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wampus Cat. That's good to be with you early this Monday morning here on the East Coast. But we're talking about court and not how to avoid it, but how to dive in head first. And I want your help, Randy. I got a letter from my lawyer. Pretty much, it's just a copy of what he sent the judge in this case where I've been denied a concealed carry license in New Hampshire, the live free or die state of all places. And I was hoping you could help me make sense of it, because it's in that legal speak that lawyers use. Well, and you're a lawyer, so maybe you can understand it.
Maybe I can translate.
Yeah. So it starts out, I'm skipping the main parts. Here's the good one. Questions presented. When the court fails to follow its own laws, What prejudice does a petitioner suffer? What does that mean? What's a petitioner?
That's you.
That's me. Okay. And the court, is that just the judge? Or is that everyone in the courthouse? Or who is that? When the court fails to follow RSA blank, what prejudice does a petitioner suffer? What does that even mean?
Well, it depends. I mean, the court usually refers to the judge, but if the court was supposed to do something in a certain time, I mean, you could be referring to the clerks or something like that. So it's kind of the corporate body of the court.
I think that's what it was.
Not really the person of the judge.
It was kind of explained in court because we all sort of like looked at each other and shrugged like, huh? I don't know. Who messed up? Who forgot to file this paperwork? Like, who lost this? And the judge sort of explained it fell on him. He was like, I think the clerk went on vacation and this was on his desk for a little while and he forgot to file it. It was like really as simple as that. Like, sometimes I have this idea that courts and legal institutions are just so high and mighty and they have their acts together, but they don't. They're just like any messy office.
Yeah, but here's the problem that you're up against in that. You have two parties in a case.
Yeah.
And pretend for a moment that the judge and the sheriff or whoever it was that denied your permit don't actually both work for the same entity called the government. You know, pretend like they're separate. All right.
Right.
You have the court who is supposed to be unconnected and unbiased, you know, to either party in the case. And it would hardly be fair to either party in any case if one side lost simply because the court screwed up and disobeyed a rule. I mean, from your point of view, you're looking at the court and the government agent who denied your permit as like this one unit, like these guys are the government and they won't give me my permit.
Yeah, they're on a team. They're working against me.
But they're not going to see it that way. And in many other contexts, you might, if the shoe was on the other foot, you wouldn't want a case being decided against you because the court missed a didn't do something. I never know. I've never seen a court where a party could be penalized because the court screwed up.
Well, yeah, but when in a soccer game, if the ref screws up, how do you punish him? Is there any remedy for that? That's, I think, more along the lines of what's happening here.
You fire the
ref. You fire him. Yeah, well, he's not. We've already asked for him to fire himself, and he said no.
Well, so there you have your answer.
Well, okay. But, so what about prejudice? What does that mean in this sentence? What prejudice?
Two prejudices that you're suffering. First of all, if the guy had given you the permit you're supposed to have, you'd have been carrying it. And depending on the circumstances, you might have been shot dead by a robber by now because you didn't have it. Unfortunately,
right.
that danger which you suffered has not come to pass, or you haven't needed that pistol to protect some third person. So that's one prejudice that you've suffered, which fortunately hasn't hurt you yet, but it could before the next 24 hours is out. And second of all, you're having to drag yourself into that stupid system, into the courtroom, to go through all this to get something that in the end, if you win, you've proven that they were jerking you around and you deserve to have it without going through all this trouble. So, I mean, that's now most people don't look at having to go to court as being a prejudice. But the truth of the matter is, it's probably a lot more trouble for you to have to go through all this court than waiting a little longer to have your permit.
It's true, but it's less trouble for me to go to court than for most people, I think. So I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to walk into their hallowed halls, say their prayers. This is the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you?
by only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends. Well, hey, Fiends, we're back and we're talking about going to court, translating legalese into English. You know that speak that lawyers and judges use so that they can confuse us and speak over our heads? Well, we're getting a reality check from the Wampus Cat, Randy England. Thanks for breaking it down, Randy.
Hey there, you're talking about stuff like the party of the first part and...
Yeah, and what prejudice does a petitioner suffer?
Prejudice do you suffer, that's right, that's right.
What a bunch of weird language. Here's the next one. I want to know what this means. What remedy or sanction is a petitioner entitled to? What the heck does that mean?
Well, remedy or sanction is sort of what can be done to fix the damage that was done to the petitioner because, in this case, because the court didn't follow its own rules.
Right.
And a sanction is where, you know, you would, in this case, probably punish somebody or maybe reward you, unless it was some situation. Sometimes sanctions, like punish somebody and then reward the government, you know. Like a fine is that way. Or if they fine you for contempt in court, they punish you by taking $500 from you and then put it in their own pocket, which is a great gimmick if you can work it.
Well, this one's kind of interesting because in this case in particular, there's a line in the RSA, which is the fancy term for the law. There's a line in the law that says if the court like messes up, this is not a direct quote, but if the court messes up, they can be made to pay attorney's fees. So, like, if the government denies my rights and then I have to hire a lawyer to win my rights back, and it turns out that the government messed up, it seems like they might actually have to pay. So there's some incentive for them to do the right thing in this case.
Yeah, but the government, you can't call, the court is not the government in the way that that's written.
Oh, you're right.
The government is the agency that denied your permit, and the court's not going to pay your lawyer's fees.
Well, so what do you think about this? I think I can summarize what he's saying
letter. I think it's going nowhere. I think you get nothing out of that. It's like,
oh, come on,
next question,
Randy.
Next question. No, no, I'm not.
I'll get anything out of this trial? Or are you just going to railroad me?
No, not the trial. Over the issue of the court not scheduling your hearing soon enough. I think you're going to get nothing out of that.
Well, yeah, because we're asking the court, okay, you've messed up. How do you punish yourself? They'll say, with one light lashing.
Embarrassment.
Yeah, nothing.
We're talking about it on the radio. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's...
There's some punishment, right?
Yeah, that's the only embarrassment they're going to face. Well, anyway,
I mean, some court clerk out there's face is really red right now, and people are poking fun at him, and...
I don't think that'll really be the case until the movie comes out. I'm going to make another movie about these guys and how they don't follow their own laws. Now, I'm fortunate in this case that I've been able to hire an attorney. Not everyone can do that. And when we were going away to the market, we were saying it's not worth it if you're not going to take this all the way. Yeah. And a lot of people don't have the time or the money or the energy to fight something like this over... just a concealed carry license. They might just say, I'll just carry a gun anyway. And if I get charged with the crime, I'll fight it then. It's $1,000 and a year in jail.
And this is pretty important. I mean, to belittle your parking case that I know you also have, but I think this case you have is much more important because, you know, you said, I think at the beginning of the show that New Hampshire, or maybe I said it before I read the statute, one of us said that New Hampshire was a shall issue state.
Yeah.
On permits. And sure enough, in your statute, that your RSA, that probably stands for Revised Statutes Annotated, see?
Oh.
You didn't even want to know that,
no,
right?
No, but that's nice to know.
Yeah, well, anyway, it says shall issue a license, but in most states, what that means, those words, like in my state, here in Missouri, there's a list of things that, well, there's certain requirements. You have to be a resident, you have to be just so old, you know, some things like that. And then there's some things that'll kick you out, like being convicted of a felony.
Yeah.
Have no weapons-related misdemeanors. You can't be a drunk or a drug abuser, and that means having like a couple of convictions, even misdemeanor convictions, in the last, say, 2 years. And if you meet those things and are not mentally incompetent, we are a shallish state. I mean, it's a checkbox system, and you get to the bottom, it says the sheriff shall issue your permit. Now, when you come over to New Hampshire, the live free or die state, there it's completely different. It's like, yeah, we have these, you know, these things that we ask, but in the end, you shall issue if the sheriff thinks you're a suitable person.
Yeah,
and
what's that about?
That's not shall issue. That'll be, yeah, shall issue if he just happens to get up on the right side of the bed this morning. If he likes the look on your face, he'll shall issue. There's nothing there that makes him issue anything to anybody.
That's right.
And that's not a shall issue state.
I agree.
That's a may issue if I feel like it today state.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm really concerned about this, Randy, because I live in New Hampshire now because I moved here as part of the Free State Project. And that's a movement of 20,000 liberty-loving people all convening to the same geographic location, hopefully to bring about liberty in our lifetime. That's our goal. And I'm concerned that I'm one of these early movers. I moved before people are even supposed to start moving. And I'm already facing roadblocks from the state. In a shall issue state, I'm trying to follow the laws. You know, at first, I just ignored the laws and said, I'll do what I want. I'll follow my conscience and we'll see where that gets me. Well, that got me the victimless crime spree. And now I've gone to the House of Corrections. I've been corrected. And now I want to follow all of their rules. And so I applied through the process using their paperwork, using their system. And still I was denied. So it seems like you do it your own way, and that doesn't work. Then you try and do it their way, and that doesn't work either. So what's the solution here? Beat them in their courts? Is that even going to work?
Well, I don't think that. I mean, I understand that if you win, you get your permit, and you got at least what you wanted, even if it was a lot more trouble.
Yeah, but we should also change the law, too. That stupid, well, suitable line, that needs to go.
You got two things going here. One is, how far away, how much discretion does your sheriff or whoever it is have in deciding whether you're suitable? I mean, that's so much wiggle worm language there that you could take this all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, they might just shake their head and kind of go, yeah, that could be just about anything you want. Or they might take a harder line. I don't know.
I don't think it's ever been challenged, Randy. And isn't that how laws really change? I mean, legislators can write whatever they want into law, but when people break them and then they're challenged and they're brought all the way up to the highest Supreme Courts, isn't that when laws are really tested?
No. First of all, there's no way your Supreme Court is going to construe this as being strictly shall issue. I mean, they may limit how much discretion that the sheriff has, but the only way to really fix this is get the legislature to do the checkbox thing and say, if you're not, basically, I mean, really, what does it boil down to? You're not a dangerous, violent person. You're not a insane or insane through, you know, being a drug addict, they always have in there. If you're not crazy or violent, they have no excuse to not let you carry, and that should be the end of it.
Yeah.
And they need to write their statute that way, that if this person meets these criteria, the sheriff shall give you one, and it really doesn't matter if you have a bad attitude. I mean, that's what they're punishing you for, right? Because you don't like the state as much as they'd like you to?
Yeah, I don't have their religion. We don't have the same religion. I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, that's
I don't believe in their authority. And that's that's what it comes down to. I want to challenge their authority. That's what I'm always about, is questioning their authority. Where do they get this power over me that I am supposed to ask permission of them to put a gun in my pocket? I mean, that's unnatural. That's crazy.
Some good can come of your case, too, though. I mean, you could win, but even if you don't win and the Supreme Court finally comes back and says, hey, that's what it says, if you're suitable, the sheriff can do anything he wants to you, so suck it up. Okay, that might make enough people angry that they change the law.
I agree. That could be a victory in its own way, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And
so
you
could win this more than one way.
And I'm not opposed to just breaking the law openly. You know, if they decide, oh, no, you can't have a license, well, I'll just go and do it anyway. And the penalty is only, I think, a year in jail or a $1,000 fine. And what jury is really going to convict me after they hear all the evidence saying, like, all right, this guy, he tried to apply, they denied him, you know, they made all this case, it went all the way to Supreme Court, still denied him, and he just wanted to carry a gun either in his car or in his pocket. That's really what it's about. In New Hampshire, you can open carry, so you don't even need permission from the government. Anyone can just walk around with a loaded gun, as many guns as you want, big blades, anything. But as soon as you put a jacket on,
you defy the law, though, because if you open carry, it's legal, and if you hide it, it's illegal. But nobody will see it.
No.
You can walk around in defiance all day long, and probably nothing would happen until your next crime spree.
Right. Well, maybe I have been, Randy. Who knows? Maybe I've been breaking this law for years.
If you were in Missouri and concealed carry without a permit, it's not 1 year. It's a felony.
Yeah, it's pretty serious in some places. And that's one of the benefits to actually applying is you can get gang protection from the gang of New Hampshire. Like, I call all the states gangs. But sometimes that's to your advantage. Like, you can get protection from one gang against another one. For example, with driving tags, with license plates. If you have an out-of-state plate, oftentimes, the cops in your local area don't know what the rules are for other states, so they don't pull you over for lack of registration or lack of proof of insurance or inspection stickers, stuff like that. So you can actually get protection from out-of-state gangs. And I think this is one of those cases where I would get protection, because if you get a concealed carry license in New Hampshire, well, then you're allowed to conceal carry in like 20 other states.
Well, how about this? If you're denied a New Hampshire one, are there any other states that would issue one to you that would be respected by New Hampshire?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like Florida. Oh, they're probably
go right over their head. Yeah, apply in Florida and then say, oh, hey, look, this is good in New Hampshire. Thanks anyway. I don't need your permission. This is the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
It's me and my friend Randy England, solving the world's problems one trial at a time. Welcome back, Randy.
Hello, it's really nice to be back.
Yeah, you know, there's so much court. There's so much court to be had in the world. In fact, I want more. every time I park my car, I refuse to pay a parking meter with the hopes that I will be given a ticket. Do you know why?
Because you will want to annoy the meter maid.
No, the meter maid doesn't care. I want to annoy the court. I want to pay the $5, $10, $15, whatever it is for a parking ticket. And instead, I will waste something much more valuable, my time, by going into court and showing them that they're going to have to work for that $5.
Now, so the plan is to use logic on these people.
No, not logic. It's to use the pain of having to go through the process. So it's sort of a lesson for them. It's sort of a spanking. It's a libertarian spanking. I don't know if that's if that's the exact appropriate analogy, but
you're
it's peaceful.
You're disciplining the local government for their obvious misbehavior.
Well, it's just that's their remedy. That's what they say I should do. They say if you want to contest this, you can go down to the police department and tell them you want your day in court. So I do that every time. And the real secret reason, Randy, is that I always, when I moved up to New Hampshire, I thought, maybe I'll be a lawyer. Maybe I'll defend these criminal activists who are breaking victimless crimes. And I hoped that I could do some good in that way. You know, I was actually going to school in college for pre-law, and yeah. I was hoping to become a lawyer one day. But then I learned that they're all slimy. Not you, not you. But most lawyers are, like, really slimy, and I didn't want to be in that world. I didn't want to be co-workers with those people. I didn't want to have discussions with them, work in the same office. So this is my chance to play lawyer. Every time you get a parking ticket, you can defend yourself. Isn't it that way all across the land, or do you have to get a lawyer sometimes?
You really can, although from watching you know, the things from afar, the things that happen in New Hampshire. And this is actually, you know, a credit, I think, to, I hate to say this, but to your government, that they seem to be more tolerant of people who want to exercise their rights in New Hampshire than they are in many other places.
That's true, no doubt.
That you can go in and be the giant pain in the behind that you intend to be, doing no more than just exercising your right to have a trial, and they may not punish you any worse than if you'd pled guilty, or at least not a whole lot worse. Whereas most of the courts that I see would make you wish you'd never been born when they got done with you.
Oh, that's right. And oftentimes there are fees. If you want to contest a ticket in Pennsylvania, I think, for example, you know, I got a parking ticket in Philadelphia once. It was like $56. I'm thinking, all right, I'll contest this. But then to contest it costs something like $200 just for the filing fee to say that I want my day in court. So they're already extracting their money. They're extracting more than they would in the ticket.
The one thing also that is safe is that when you do a parking ticket, there's probably a set fine on a parking ticket.
Yeah, it's going to be $5 if I'm found guilty.
It's going to be $5, so you don't have to worry about it. It's not like having, say, a felony case where the penalty is 1 to 7 years. And if you behave yourself, from their point of view, if you behave yourself, you'll get probation. And if you don't behave yourself, you'll get 7 years. It's not quite that bad.
Well, I want to know, what are the tricky questions that I can use to trip up the lawyers and the prosecutors and the judges when I bring these parking tickets to court? I'm not the only one who can bring a parking ticket to court. Any of the fiends can do it. It's usually free, and sometimes you win. And even if you don't win, you win because you get good video and you show how ridiculous the process is. So I want to know what those secret questions are, Randy. When we come back, we're going to take our own trip through legal land. I'm going to question jurisdiction. I'm going to question authority. I'm going to question their clothing options. Speaking of clothing options, let's get some. Let's go take a trip to the market. Worms. the warrant canary. Worms. Annelids. Wames. Hey, how you doing, Randy England? Wampus cat?
Segmented worms, huh?
Segmented worms, indeed. Yeah, just doing a little meow therapy for the show, for our own mental health. I hear it's good for you. It's good for the soul.
I think so. You know, I looked at the Urban Dictionary the other day.
Uh-oh.
And the Urban Dictionary said that the term worms... Well, first of all, it was the equivalent of the old, you know, when someone would say word, just like Michael always says. But the person who put the definition up, which meant worms, meant an affirmation or agreement with what was said. The person who put it up said it came from some town somewhere in the year 2010.
Wow. Hey, course, Freedom Fiends were around then.
No, Michael always said it came from a friend of his who said it in 1995.
Uh-oh.
And he liked it. So I don't know if anybody has any pull with the Urban Dictionary, but I think a correction is due in there.
Yeah, maybe you should fix it. I think anyone can correct the Urban Dictionary. You can add your own entry. But, hey, you know, we've got a lot of competition. I don't know if you checked them out. I always try and listen to every episode of The Fiends. But the last two were really killer. They interviewed Cody Wilson of Defense Distributed. Oh, amazing. Interview with...
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's the 3D printed gun guy. And now he's doing a new thing with metal milling, where you can mill your own lower receivers, essentially... Build your own rifle.
Build the one part of the gun that is regulated.
Yeah, without a serial number or anything. So it's pretty amazing that he's bringing more freedom to the world through technology. That was an amazing interview. And also, today, they were at Coins in the Kingdom, which is a convention happening in Orlando where people are at Disney World using Bitcoin and hearing speeches from people in the Bitcoin space. It's very exciting to hear that interview. Ian Freeman is down there from Free Talk Live, and he was on today.
Who was interviewed? I didn't get to hear it yet.
Davi Barker and Diana were down there at Coins in the Kingdom.
Oh, they were both there. Oh, great.
Yeah, and Ian Freeman is there as well. He's reporting, doing Free Talk Live from down there. So it's very exciting. We've got a lot to compete with, Randy. So we're rolling right along, though, through our adventures in Legoland. And
now, adventures in Legoland, I don't think that's not my trademark. Isn't there somebody else that has that?
Yeah, actually, I'm holding in my hand this book by Mark Stevens, titled Adventures in Legoland. He's the...
Okay, I just don't want to be stepping on, you know, somebody else's shtick, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Good point. Well, he's not a lawyer, but he pretends to be one, sort of. He has a podcast called The No State Project every Sunday, and it's a lot of fun to listen to, where he takes calls from people, he's not a lawyer, but they ask him sorts of legal questions, because he delves enough into legal land. He represents people in court sometimes on the phone with IRS audits and stuff. And his shtick, his only thing, is questioning jurisdiction. That's all he's about. And I think that's a pretty cool focus, because that's really what it comes down to. If you can question jurisdiction and get the court to admit that they have no authority, well, I think you've really won the case, regardless of how they rule.
Well, it's good that you feel that you've won the case, because you've lost the case.
Yeah, it tends not to matter. But the point is, in New Hampshire, at least, you can record these trials. They're open courts. You don't need any sort of permission slips. You walk in with a camera here in Keene, and you just set it up and record. That's it.
Put them on YouTube.
And put it on YouTube, exactly. Yeah. So while I may be losing in the New Hampshire state court, I'm winning in the court of public opinion. And the more people who can see that a guy has taken a minor traffic ticket and then challenged jurisdiction, gotten the judge all flabbergasted, you know, threatening contempt of court for asking questions and the like, they start to have their hearts and minds changed a bit, saying, hey, maybe I ought to take my parking tickets to court and cost them all the time and energy and resources trying to prosecute me for a victimless crime.
Well, you may have a point with that, simply because the things that you would say and do, I mean, the questions that you ask the judge, and you say, judge, you know, who do you work for? And you point out the conflict of interest that he works for the same guy that the prosecutor works for. And isn't that a conflict? And then talking about jurisdiction, you can maybe, you know, you say, why do you have jurisdiction over me? And of course, they're not going to have that on the tip of their tongue.
No,
and
he's
so
not going
to
know what to
points.
Say.
And for me, sitting there in the courtroom watching you do this, I will, of course, be shaking my head going, okay, you can make the judge mad here, but I promise you, we all know where this is going to end. You know, but
it's painful to watch cases like that sometimes. It's cringeworthy.
Well, yeah, and especially for an attorney like me that, you know, my main focus, I mean, the whole gist of my almost 25 years of being a criminal defense attorney now is being able to see what's happening now, either in court or reading the reports and everything, and be a prophet and say what's going to happen, you know, 2 days or 10 minutes or a year from now. I mean, that's really the most valuable thing I can do. So when I hear that, you know, in a courtroom case or something, you know, I'll be kind of shaking my head. But your point is that, yeah, well, that you would take it that way because you're looking at it the way the judge is looking at it, but you're saying, no, this is theater for somebody else who is I'm trying to convince a bunch of other people that there's something hinky going on here with this judge and the prosecutor, both working for the same guy and pretending, you know, that they don't, are pretending to be independent of one another, or the jurisdictional issue as to why they even have the power for dragging you in there. Yeah, you make a good argument. You may win the argument with the people that are watching on TV.
Well, I may even win in court one day if I clean up right and say the words in the right magic order. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you won't know for sure when that's coming, so don't put any money on it.
Okay, I won't, but it does sort of fulfill a dream of mine that I can dress up in a suit and pretend I'm a lawyer and defend myself in court, make the judge all sorts of angry, and question their jurisdiction, question their authority. It's exciting.
As a party in the case, you have the absolute right to do anything that the lawyer can do, and you probably get away with things that the lawyer wouldn't get away with.
Well, I want to see how well I can fare at this, because I think with a parking ticket is the perfect time to challenge jurisdiction or to do anything sort of irregular in court.
Okay, you know, well, I don't. Let's back. What happened with your parking ticket?
It's simple. I parked. I don't fill the meters because I intend to receive tickets and fight them, and so that's exactly what happened. Eventually, though, my long-term goal is that the parking enforcers in Keene, of which there are only two, will start to recognize my car and say, hey, every time I put a ticket on this car, I get dragged into court, and I rather dislike that, so I will just ignore this car today and not give him a ticket. I think that's eventually what's going to happen in the long term, because they can't just keep writing tickets and ending up in court. It has to be not fun for them.
And I think you told me that the tickets, the amount of the fine is set for these tickets.
It's $5.
At $5. And no matter how much of a menace you become in court, it's still $5.
Yeah, if my trial takes 5 hours, if we have to postpone it and it takes days, my sentence will still only be $5. So it's well worth the time getting the, you know, it starts at the very beginning. First, I'm wasting the time of the parking enforcer who stands there and writes the ticket, and then I go down to City Hall and I waste the time of the parking enforcement officer who like writes out the ticket. Then I waste the cop's time because you need a cop to come down in person. Even though this woman works for the police, she can't just hand me a piece of pink paper with the complaint on it. The official complaint needs to be in hand from a police officer. So they have to call someone up to drive down and hand me a piece of paper. Then they schedule the date. And that's just an arraignment date where I'm either going to plead guilty or not guilty. So then they've got to schedule an actual court date. That takes the clerk's time, the judge's time, everyone else's time in the courtroom. It's taking paperwork. It takes mail, postage. I mean, I'm really getting more than $5 of value out of all this. And sure, they get my time in court, but then I get good video and I get practice being before a court, before a judge. And I think that's valuable. You know, my first time in court, I was pretty timid. And I imagined that I was going to be this powerful speaker and have these speeches prepared, but it didn't turn out exactly as I planned. So I think with the more practice that you get at these lower level trials, the more confident you can be when it's actually serious.
That's probably true. Now, while you were talking there, I had been clicking into it's Keene, New Hampshire, right?
Yeah.
And looking at their parking ordinances.
Oh, do they have special ones? I have one in front of me.
What was your violation of?
Oh, it was the offense of parked at an expired meter, contrary to RSA 94-152B1 and the laws of New Hampshire, for which the defendant should be held to answer, in that the defendant did parked at a meter between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. after legal parking time had passed. And then it has my plate number.
Sounds like they cited you with a state law violation rather than a Keene municipal violation.
Yeah, that's it does seem that way. And it says it happened against the peace and dignity of the state. Served in hand is checked off.
I think that you'd have to plead guilty to the charge of the violating the dignity of the
I
state.
I won't.
This is most embarrassing for you not to do that. I think it's very offensive to their dignity, and I think that was the point.
Well, that's sort of my plan. That's my secret plan here, Randy, is I'm going to go in with a check for $5, and I'm going to say, I'm so sorry. I am absolutely ready to plead guilty to this. I just want it all to go away. Before I do, though, I just have a couple of foundational questions about this. About this charge and about this ticket. But again, I'm ready to plead guilty. I just want it all to go away. I just need to know, Judge, who do you represent in this case? Who do you represent in all this? And then I'm going to go on my spiel. We'll take him down the rabbit hole. What do you think about that, Randy?
It really makes me wish I could be your judge in this case.
How would you rule differently? Well, we'll have it on video, and you'll be able to watch along and see what you think. What did I do right? What did I do wrong?
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
We got the Warrant Canary over here, and we're figuring out all of the world's problems, actually just the legal ones. You get a parking ticket, it happens to the best of us, sometimes on purpose, like me here in Keene, New Hampshire. Other times I feed my meter because I don't want to go all travel down to Philly for a parking ticket trial, but I don't know, what do you think? Is it worth it? Is the strategy I'm taking a good one, Randy? You're a lawyer, you would know.
Well, what point are you? Do you have a defense of any kind? Or you just want to say,
I'm guilty. My defense is I don't have one. I'm just asking questions before I'm pleading guilty. And that's my pretense, because, like, really, I'm there for the trial, but I'm going to pretend like I'm right there. You know, they want me to just sign the little thing that says, I'm guilty, here's the money, this is over.
But you had to ask for a trial, though, right?
Well, yeah. First, I have to contest the ticket, and then there's going to be a date coming up, like this week, on Wednesday, where I go into court, and they say, you ready to plead guilty or not guilty? And I say, not guilty, and then they schedule another date where I have to come and appear. And it's going to be at that one where I bring my check written out to the state of New Hampshire for $5. And I'm going to say, I'm ready to sign this over to you. I'm ready to plead guilty. Just I have a few questions first about the nature and proceedings of this court here. Like, who do you represent, judge? And I want to know, you know, what facts the state has that the laws apply to me. You know, what laws or what facts does the judge rely on to determine that the laws and statutes apply to me? And what's he going to say to that, Randy?
Well, first of all, any facts that are necessary, both facts to determine jurisdiction, you know, over the jurisdiction over the place, and that would be established at trial. So the judge, you can make all of those complaints that you want. And
it's not a complaint, it's a question.
He's not there to answer your questions. He's not the answer man, you know, and you're not going to, he's not going to fall for it. It's going to be like, okay, you know, why are you telling me this? Because you want me to like pay attention when it comes time to hearing the facts as to why they have jurisdiction over you? Because I will, you know, I mean, I'm not sure where that's going, or if you just want to get to your trial and question about the jurisdiction.
No, I don't even want to get to the trial. First, I want to just question the jurisdiction. Like, what facts do you rely on to determine that your laws apply to me? And I have no idea what he's going to say to that. It's a total guessing game for me. But I imagine after a couple of times, like a few trials of asking that question, he's going to have an answer prepared. And can you look into your crystal ball for me? Because you've got experience as a lawyer. Like, what? Pull it out of your hat. What you think a judge would say to that?
He'll say, I'll take your considerations along with the case. Let's get started. Mr. Prosecutor, call your first witness.
Okay, and so he calls the first witness.
Mr. Freeman, sit down. You know, that's how it's going to go.
All right, so he does that, and they pull up this traffic cop, right? This meter maid, and they've pulled off the street for a little while. So that's another victory. When you take these tickets to court, whether it's a traffic ticket for speeding.
She's
or
not
for
writing
whatever.
Tickets for anybody else.
Exactly.
While she's in there.
Yep. You've got her off the street for hours, which could mean, you know, 10, 20, 30 people saved. That's another
great
question.
Same logic for arrested drug dealers. It gets them off the street. Go ahead.
I'm going to write that down. That's a great question to ask her. How many tickets would you have written if you were out on the street today? And she can say, you know, estimate 10, 20, 30 or something. And then I can sort of estimate, well, how much is my $5 ticket bringing in for them versus what she could be writing? And I can make the case for the audience.
Let me ask you, okay,
what?
You got to know
that
there's going to be an objection to this question.
Why?
You know, why?
It's perfectly
objection,
relevant.
Objection, it's totally irrelevant to the question of whether you, Derek Freeman, are guilty of parking too long somewhere. It's utterly, completely irrelevant. And now the prosecutor, maybe this is, it's just a parking ticket case. He's maybe practically sleeping there and not paying any attention, or they may feel amused by what you're doing.
Oh no, they're going to be on their game because they don't like me and they want to destroy me.
Well, then they're not likely to indulge you, so they're going to be objecting.
Yeah,
they're going to be object. They could object to just about every question it sounds like you want to ask, because they have no relevance to the question of your guilt.
Non-responsive, Your Honor. Witness is incompetent to testify.
Now,
strike his testimony.
That's okay. You can go there.
We will go there when we return from this trip to the free market. Worms!
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Yeah, 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 yeah. welcome. We are here to make the courts make fools out of themselves. I'm here with Randy England, and he is, or was, or is a lawyer. Are you currently still one of those slimy lawyer types?
Yes, indeed. I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Oh, so you're no longer, you lost your slime. You were de-slimed. Now you defend the criminals.
As much as I could wash off, yes.
I like the expression, when freedom is outlawed, only outlaws will be free. And I think that criminal defense attorneys, they are the defenders of the outlaws. Isn't that literally the case?
Well, yeah. If we didn't have a chance to do our job, I guess they would just do with you whatever they wanted.
Let me tell you, I love living in New Hampshire, Randy, because I would be so hopeless if I was still in Philadelphia or any of the other places where I lived, because there's so much, you know, you can't take a $5 parking ticket to court, for example, like I said in Philadelphia. It would cost you $200 just to contest it, and then when you lose, you have to pay the $56 or whatever dollars it is. So being in New Hampshire is kind of unique because there's a bunch of people who are moving here for more freedom, and then they're doing things like using the state's own rules against them, like taking things to court or running for political office and changing the laws. So that's not what the state wants, but that's what people are doing, and it's enhancing people's freedom. So I think it's fun, and it gives me a lot of hope for the free future.
Yeah, now you were talking about your parking case, right? Ticket case?
Yeah, and this is something transportable. So, like, if this works here, maybe the video can go online and it can work for people everywhere.
Now, I gather, though, the one thing that you're talking about, though, is that you really, I mean, when you say that you want to, you know, kind of be stick a monkey wrench into the wheels of the court system. I understand that, but why would you give them a break of any kind? I mean, if you're going to have the trial, you know, why don't you go all out and test everything that they have? Ask questions of the witnesses of everything, you know, on things that actually are real.
What do you mean? You know, like, do you have photographic evidence, or what evidence do you rely on that I broke this crime?
If there's a witness, okay? If there's a witness
there's
in
gonna
the case,
be. There's going to be, you know, the witness against me.
You have the right to ask them questions about their competence as a witness, as to their mental capacity and what they can read and write. Are they a competent witness?
That's going to be so demeaning. That's awesome. I can't wait to ask these women who I already know and have had conversations with, you know, are you able to read? At what age did you learn to write, or can you write?
Well,
are these the questions I should be asking?
You only can go so far because they say, yeah, I wrote your ticket, didn't I? You know, I mean,
I don't know. I don't have the evidence of that.
I'm not sure, but there's other, you know, you have
it's an allegation
about the witness's qualifications and what kind of training they require to do the job that they do.
Now, why would I ask those questions? Why would I do that? What am I building up to?
Because a person is not allowed to testify to things that they're either not capable of perceiving, or they're not qualified to speak on as a knowledgeable expert on whatever their subject is. Like, here they are. Just for example, a parking ticket case. You got somebody who is relying on scientific instruments to do their job. Okay, does anybody anywhere know what goes on inside a parking meter? I mean, what's in there? I mean, it's so weird because there must be a clock or something in there. Of course, I have no idea who calibrates that clock, who checks the clock. Would you have some kind of oscilloscope or something that you put on that meter? Do you hit them every morning, or just like every 30 days or something? Or maybe you just do it, you know, against your watch in there. If they're going, actually, I've never checked any of them in my life, you know, haven't the slightest idea if they're accurate or not. I mean, so if you walk up and say, I'm guilty, I mean, and once, are you guilty? I mean, whose job is it to prove your, is it your job to step up and say I did it? Or is it their job to prove that you did it?
So if someone's non-responsive, is that enough for me to disqualify them as a witness? Or just one non-responsive answer?
Oh, no. If you have a valid question to ask someone and they don't answer the question, I would ask them the question again, and I would repeat it, say the same thing, and if they didn't answer, I'd complain to the judge and say, Judge, I said, would you please tell her to answer my questions? You know, I'm entitled to an answer. And if, you know, unless the court, you know, is going to rule my question out of order because of some objection from the prosecutor, I'm entitled to an answer, and that's the end of that.
I really want to, that's the other thing, I really want to play up the street theater aspect of this. Like, I am going to be so honorable to this judge, or respecting, and whatever the term is, to this judge. You know, Your Honor, I'm always going to say Your Honor and defer to him. I'm going to be like extra deferential, I'm going to defer to him in all circumstances and ask permission to approach the bench. All the polite niceties of being in court, standing, sitting when he asks me to. So here's my strategy, Randy, and tell me, you don't think this is going to work.
And you're sure you want to talk about this, you know, on the air?
Yes, I'm okay with that. I hope the bureaucrats are listening, because here it comes. This is what I'm going to do.
Secrets.
Here's all my trade secrets. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to say, I'm ready to say I'm guilty. Here's my check. But I want to know first, you know, who do you represent? And the judge is going to either say, well, I don't have to answer your question, or he's going to say, I represent the state. And I'll say, you know, am I entitled to a fair trial? And he'll say, yes, of course, you're entitled to a fair trial. And I'll say, well, would it be possible to get a fair trial if...
How do you know he's going to say, well, yes, of course you're going to get a fair trial? I mean, I've seen judges suckered in
answering
those
questions. How could he say no?
No, if the judges that I know, you know, without getting angry at you or all bent out of shape or anything, if you ask a question that is of no relevance, and every judge I've seen, if an honest question comes, okay, that somebody doesn't understand something, most judges will answer a question like that.
Well, how is that not a fair question? Am I entitled to a fair trial?
If something is just simply a pothole, you know, for the judge to step in, the judge is likely to just pleasantly look you in the eye and say, what's your next question?
You know, that's really going to put a damper on my parade here. My end game is to show that he and the cop testifying against me work for the same organization, the state, and once the cop on the stand testifies to that effect, I'm going to say, you know, dump this witness. There's clearly a conflict of interest here.
Well, the thing is, rather than getting into some acting like the court is the witness that you're allowed to harass with questions, you still can make your motions and work in your questions and your things that way. I mean, you can say, you know, it's true. I mean, you know, you work for these guys, these work for these guys. I mean, how is that fair? I mean, now, not that that gets anybody anywhere, because as we've talked about, they're not going to throw a case out, you know, when some, you know, legal genius comes up and points out that the judge and the prosecutor both work for the same organization, you know?
Yeah, but what's my magic bullet then? What do I do when the cop's on the stand, she's written the ticket, and I say, how do I get the judge to admit that this witness is incompetent to testify? Asking the scientific questions about how do the parking meters work, and she doesn't know, so dump her testimony?
I'm not sure how much they would require a meter maid to know, but in one sense. And actually, the meter maid may not need to know anything. The meter maid could say, look, all I do is I look and see if they didn't put in enough money to cover the time they were there, the red flag comes up, and I write them a ticket. But then that just means that they didn't bring all the witnesses they needed, because there was no witness who could come to explain why this machine worked and how it was calibrated, and it has a clock inside it, and what the heck happens when you put the quarter in there? Is there a battery in there? What is this thing? I mean, are we supposed to trust it? Do you trust it? Why does anyone trust it?
I don't want to trust anything they say, and that's going to be my whole game. Is I'm going to assume nothing.
Yes,
nothing.
But I'm talking about attacking the machine and its calibration.
Work once. Then they figure it out and they say, "Oh yeah, well it works with this scientific doodad," and now we've got that.
What does it,
pigeonhole
it,
fix?
It may not work there. When you have, you know, when you get a DWI and you have to blow. I mean, not a DWI. Let's say a speeding ticket for a radar.
Yeah,
you know. And they have people that have to calibrate those machines.
Yeah,
and a lot of cities, they have some clown who travels from city to city, calibrating, checking those machines, you putting them on his oscilloscope and that. And by the time somebody gets caught on that machine and it's time for a trial, this guy's up. He's calibrating machines in Alaska on his annual tour, and they couldn't get him to save their lives. Well. You go look at the state statutes, and they may well say, well, the guy who calibrated those has a testifier. You haven't got a case. Not guilty.
Well, I just saw that happen, Randy. That happened here in New Hampshire, where a 17-year-old activist actually took her speeding ticket to trial and questioned the calibration of the device that was used to clock her speed.
That works in municipal court very, very often, if somebody wants to fight it.
Well, it didn't work this time. The prosecutor was ready with paperwork and calibration testing and all sorts of evidence that, I don't know, he apparently did his homework. He was ready for this challenge.
Well,
so that only works once, if it works at all.
Well,
what
you
want
don't
is a
know
silver
if it was
bullet.
In municipal court, it may not mean as much. There could have been an appeal.
I want something that's going to work every time. Something that judges all over are going to trip themselves. And they don't even see it coming. They'll get blindsided. They're going to dig their own grave, so to speak.
Once you use it, they're going to know about it.
Maybe not. We'll see. This is The Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We're taking tickets to court. All kinds of tickets. You know, one of my favorite people, Ian Freeman, he is facing some pretty serious charges. He's actually going to be sentenced pretty soon. He was found guilty of prohibitions and unsworn falsifications, essentially filling out a piece of government paper wrong. And he's facing 2 years in jail, Randy. It's pretty serious. Have you heard about this?
Wow. I have not.
He is the host of Free Talk Live.
And I've heard of that.
Yes, he was arrested by surprise on his front porch a couple of months ago by the state police, who just showed up and said, "You're coming with us." And it turns out that he filled out a form wrong at the DMV. And apparently this is a crime punishable by up to 2 years in jail. So it's pretty serious.
Wouldn't it have to be filled out deliberately wrong? You know, some sort of perjury or something, or false information rather than incorrect information?
Yeah, one would think. And you can watch the whole trial if you're interested at freekeen.com. The whole thing has been posted there. You could just
I'd
look
like
up.
To check that out. That's interesting.
Most people who watched it, I haven't seen the whole thing, but most people who watched it said that Ian did an amazing job. They were completely surprised that the government found him guilty. But, of course, there's no justice in the legal system.
I'd hate to see him get a lot of time. I have a lot of respect for him. I really do. And he's and you. You're both gutsy and the kind of people that are willing to fight these cases, and yet you're not fools who go into it, you know, with your eyes closed.
It depends who you ask.
Not knowing where it's going to... Well, I think I know the difference, and, you know, I mean, if I was your lawyer on one of these cases, I mean, I'd grab you and sit you down, take you aside and say, okay, if you do this, this and this and this is going to happen, but if you want to do it this way, you know, then fine. You just need to know, you know, what you're getting into. That's I think it's great that, you know, people are willing to, you know, go sit out on the tracks and to make a point as long as they know what they're doing.
I need to know what I'm getting into because I am clueless, Randy, and truly, one of the suggestions that a listener had for me...
You're not clueless. I mean, you haven't been to law school, but that doesn't make you clueless. You don't know everything to do that's there, but you know what can happen to you, and you're smart enough when you're going to go in and make an enormous pain of yourself that you're doing on a case where the fine's only $5.
Yeah, but it's like a casino. you know, they... You walk in and you're all disoriented, and then they take your money and you walk out sad. I don't know. It's the state casino. But one of the questions that a listener proposed for me to ask was, is there evidence of a cause of action against me? And while I have you on the line, I want to know, what does that lawyer speak for? What does that mean?
Oh, a cause
is there evidence of a cause of action?
Just a lawsuit, but in a they don't usually use those words in criminal or semi-criminal cases like state or municipal.
So it'd be like an IRS thing.
Well, no, it's not administrative. It's not administrative, but usually a cause of action is typically talked of more like in a civil case if you sue somebody or bring a lawsuit, like in your concealed carry appeal, they would call that a cause of action. In a criminal case, they just call it the charges, filing charges, not filing it is a cause of action. I mean, the words cause of action, I mean, that's actually just English. Like, what is the cause of this action that you're doing, you know?
Yeah, but all the words in legalese are English, but they have this secret double meaning.
Well, there's not really a secret meaning to that.
All right.
It's just...
Well, it's hard to know.
It's the reason we're here. Yeah, it's hard to know that. But sometimes if you just look at them, you go, well, okay, I guess that's what it is. You know, it's kind of a dumb way to talk, but a lot of it's a dumb way to talk.
Here's the other one where I think I have them pinned. On the cross-examination, I want to ask if the meter maid who wrote the ticket knows what an RSA is. Do you think
Objection.
I'll have them pinned?
Relevance.
Relevance? How can you bring me into your courts if you don't even know what an RSA is? You're claiming that I violated one. Can you perform brain surgery without knowing where the brain is?
Maybe she doesn't know how to read.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't know how to read. I'm going to ask that question, too. Hey, Judge, I think this witness is incompetent to testify. It happens to be your only witness against me. Drop this case now! What do you think? Will he do it, Randy?
I'll dismiss that case right now.
Well, I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight. Take all of your traffic tickets to court and never listen to Lawyer Derek. This has been Wampus Cat and the Warrant Canary bringing you...